Welcome, everybody. Welcome back to the Dom and Colin podcast for continued coverage of The Challenge season 36. It is only episode 4, and as I wrote my notes today, I felt myself already slipping away from the episode count. I can't believe it only took 4 episodes for me to feel this way, but by next week, I will be calling it episode 4 or episode 6. We'll see how that goes. We had another episode of The Challenge. It is back after its hiatus this week, and we are here to break it all down with you. Of course, myself, Matt, as always, with my co-host, Brian Scally. Scally, how are you doing today?
I am good. And like you said, it's only episode 4, but, you know, I feel like we've been with this season for a while. It feels very familiar and in a good way. We had a week off, but a great episode this week. Feel like every episode so far has delivered. And so for it to only be 4 episodes in and for us to have so much to talk about every single week, I'm very excited.
Yeah, I'm not going to say their names, but just right off the bat, something that I was paying attention to, especially in this episode, is the fact that there are, like, okay, so to back it up in the thought process, I was thinking about how there were so many people on this season that I still feel, you know, through 4 full episodes, that is over 4 hours of the show, obviously over 4 hours, almost 6 hours of the show, if I'm doing the math correctly really quickly. And there are so many people on the show that I think right now, if I asked you to tell me a single thing about Teresa in this season, or about Darrell, or about Leo Rush, you could probably give me one thing per person. So the fact that the storytelling has been so focused on a few specific characters and kind of mixing in the you know, other people along the way to try to, you know, bring things together. I don't know if I'm getting into the right place of where I was going with all this, but just to say that, like, a lot of the other main characters that we've talked about who aren't here this season, not being here, I feel like I'm noticing it a lot more now because the story is completely shifting to new people's stories. And I feel like going forward, that does mean good things. It's just a strange reality to wrap my head around because as long as I've been a Challenge fan, I've not known this world.
For sure. I think if I was going to, you know, give one knock against it, I would say that we don't know enough about too many people on this cast. Even some of the bigger names, like, I haven't gotten that much from Nani 4 episodes in, like, just, you know, first name that pops in front of me. But there, or Darrell, like, very established long term, but you're not getting that much from them yet. I'm hoping that means that their story pops later and we'll just go ahead and explore it then. But I can definitely see the argument. It's not necessarily to a point that I am missing anybody from this season, but I agree it's noticeable.
Yeah, it's just noticeable is all that I'm really, you know, taking away for sure. That just I'm like, all right, so we've really gotten 4 weeks of Fessy content at this point. 4 weeks of Anissa, which I'm not upset about. If anything, I'd be more upset about having to focus so much on Fessy through 4 weeks here, and especially, you know, into this episode. But I don't know, just looking around, I'm like, you have Lolo Jones on your show. You have Natalie Anderson on your show. And I feel like they are very much under the radar here through 4 episodes. So as much as, yeah, I agree with you that I've been enjoying it, and another good episode came out this week, I just could use a little bit more is all that I'm really saying for some of these other people. Like, where is Natalie?
Especially with 90 minutes, there's not really a good excuse to have so many people go under the radar for so many episodes now at this point. But hey, if we got, what, like 7 or 8 confessionals out of Amber M this week after not being even like a face on the show for 1 second before this, then I feel like people are going to start popping up.
Yeah, and like, where did that come from? I mean, she was truly so nowhere. Quiet for so long. It's like the reverse of how I feel this week has gone for me. I was just telling you how exhausted I am. I was just like, Amber went from like so much to so little. And actually, no, not the reverse. It's exactly how I've gone. You know, honestly, I'm so tired. I don't even know what I'm saying. But no, it's fine. I'm so surprised with Amber's emergence this week and the fact that she is getting significant story before a Natalie or a Lolo or even, like you said, like a Nani. Like, I don't know. Where are they all hiding?
Yeah, I mean, we had a little bit from Natalie in week 1, but since then she's, you know, at best on the receiving end of like one line recently. So you're not getting too much from her there. As for Amber, I guess, like, instead of loading it evenly across the first 4 episodes, they decided, let's just put it all here. And that's why we haven't heard from her at all. And that's why it feels so saturated, whereas maybe some other people's were a little more spread out up until now. But it's definitely an interesting choice for them to be making.
Right. So this episode, we had a big showing from somebody we've talked about a lot. As I mentioned, Fessy had himself quite an episode here with a lot of decisions, a lot of choices that he made that he will have to live with going forward. We'll talk about all of it. Do I think that just to jump right into some of it, do I think that this is going to ruin his game? No, it's still Fessy. He's still a beast. He won this elimination. He's back in the house. Still is a hard guy to take out. But I think I might have been a little bit too quick to, back in those first 2 weeks to be giving him all of the credit that I was giving him of like, I'm pretty sure I was out here talking about, oh, he's really growing his game. Like he's got the physical aspect and now he's, kind of working it all around. He's got people by his side and wow, how quickly they decided to make me/us, if you agreed with me, look like a fool.
Definitely. I remember us talking about like, oh, the only missing component was Fessy's strategy game and social and the physical were obviously there, but proved us wrong for even a brief moment. Fessy really walked back every step he had taken forward. And I know he did not ruin his game, but I think he definitely did a lot of damage to his challenge career moving forward.
Yeah, people talk, a lot about Fessy, especially just, the BB20 days. And I think I block out the second half of BB20 from my memory. I know a lot of people have a lot of love for the season. I do, too. Kind of like when Caitlin left for me, I was so like down on it because I was so disappointed with all of the mess that was with her exit. And then, just kind of seeing the entire Faute side being picked off. I was watching, I was paying attention, but that part of the season is not as fun for me. It's so disgustingly unfortunate that like the next time I got excited in that season was JC winning a competition. Like why, what is that? Why is everybody like that season so much? I don't know. We can talk about that another time, but just, the specific memories of how Fessy played that part of the game. It's become a meme at this point of how bad he was and the who flipped of it all. So I don't remember like the details besides the fact that he, got rid of Scotty, somebody on his side. But I don't know, just putting it all together with the knowledge of what happened there combined with how things are playing out here, seeing how he really plays the game when it's like, he's got the opportunities to control his own narrative. It's impressive how he took what could have been such a good situation and turned it to this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, got a little bit on the aftermath with Devin hosting. Corey talked about how he thinks maybe Fessy was a little bitter that people were calling him wallpaper and so boring last season. And that ultimately is making him, take big swings this time. But I don't really think that much of this was thought out as, much as he may be feeling confident at the moment.
And please tell me, I'm hoping that you are going to say yes to this. Do you know about what's been going on with Haley's been saying stuff? I really haven't had a chance to like dive deep into what's going on here, but I know that, obviously Fessy is coming in here single. He seems to be getting very messy early on. Messy Fessy is happening with Gabby or with Tori or whatever's going on here. But I heard that like Haley had spoken about Fessy a bit this week.
Yeah, so I didn't see the precursor to this, but apparently Haley has a Patreon now, which, like we've said last time, everyone does.
Right.
So she came out with a long post on Patreon and someone obviously posted it where she said that they actually were dating through, I think, like the end of October. I don't remember the exact filming dates, though. And so she was not under the impression that Fessy may have been single for as long as Fessy thought that he was single. So I think that it is definitely viewed through a different light knowing that.
Right. And I think you might have mentioned this at one point, too, or maybe I dreamt it about Tori and Fessy potentially being spotted together at some point. And then I think it happened again this week that people are apparently saying that those two have been hanging out. I don't know if anything is going to end up playing out on the show, but obviously they're setting things up on the show for us to be paying attention to those two specifically. So I don't know what the details. I mean, and it's funny because I look back in my rewatch that I've been, up to, which I did kind of temporarily pause after Vendetta's a couple, like a week ago now, but I will pick it back up. Final Reckoning, I'm very excited for. We were not seeing, Tori and Jordan as their story. It didn't really begin on Dirty 30, even though that's where they met and really became like friendly with each other. But the seeds were there of like, keep an eye on this because, they're just, getting close, especially at the reunion. They had already kind of like hung out once or twice. I think they had like slept together by that point. So I don't know if that's just what's happening here of like, maybe nothing happens on the show, but but it's like, keep an eye out. This could be something in the future. And, you know, they always kind of want to make sure that they have it documented on the show. But either way, it kind of threw me off. It took me by surprise because I just never would have expected it, especially knowing that both of them had, you know, Haley exists and Jordan exists before the season began. So I don't know. I just didn't see it coming.
Yeah, so there were a few rumors that I had heard, but I was not bringing up with you or anyone else. The type of thing where this show is everyone will post whatever they feel like. And so as soon as two people are seen hanging out, it's getting posted. So I had seen rumors, but didn't really buy into a whole lot. And then all of a sudden this week, apparently again, they're hanging out. But like we talked about last time with them not showing the birth of the Tori and Jordan relationship when Tori was with Derek at the time, and so maybe producers didn't think that there was much there, and they learned their lesson. They are not taking any chances this time, and if someone's going to be talking about Tori or vice versa, they are showing it on screen. We are not missing the start of something new on another season of The Challenge.
Yeah, that's what it seems like. I mean, we get that from the very, very, very early on in this episode. Like, one of the first few scenes is the two of them in the hot tub, and Fessy calls Tori a very dope woman and a very good looking woman. So he's being polite, so polite in these confessionals, and he's still wearing that same outfit that he's been wearing since week one in the confessional. I don't know if everybody, or at least he, just like has this shirt and tie and vest or whatever he's wearing put aside, and anytime they call him in on any given Saturday, he just puts that back on. But it's very strange to me. I don't know if I'm overthinking it, but
I wonder, because I know they try to keep consistency for editing purposes. I do remember the turtleneck and chains that Colin was
true,
sending
that was like,
to
yeah,
the group chat
early
so,
on
couple iconic you know, confessional looks, I guess, from Fessy, and he's sticking with them. He knows what works, but it definitely was interesting. I know that it's come out that he had told Nelson and Corey that he was crushing on Tori, I think even last season. So they knew what was going on, but Tori is claiming that, like, I had no idea that Fessy had any feeling at least, you know, at this point in the season, and that it was definitely one-sided. She was sitting on the other side of the hot tub. Like, she's making it very clear that whatever is being said in confessionals is not how she is perceiving things at the moment.
Yeah, and just to kind of rope this all in together, later on when we see them all go out to drink in, you know, the backyard dome, whatever that's called, and Fessy's like, actually, so yeah, like, I do think Tori's kind of cool. I think she's a very dope woman, but she's, you know, got Jordan, so I'm gonna go hang out with Gabby. And then we get to see just an entirely awkward scene. Like, I don't know how Fessy felt after this episode. I think obviously there's a million things to feel because of how things played out, especially with the elimination, his friendships kind of being on the line here, that he was willing to risk, and we'll get into all of that. But just like the embarrassing display of, you know, him trying to get something going with Gabby, and she's like, yeah, no, you're not getting in my bed tonight. You're actually kind of awkward to talk to. I don't really get anything from you. Big T as well, or whoever else. I think it was Big T was like, it was Amber. Sorry to confuse those two, because they are nowhere in the same league of confessional givers. But Amber was like, yeah, Fessy has no game. So rough day to be Fessy.
Yeah, it was also probably rough for Gabby hearing, like, oh, I really like Tori, but my backup is Gabby,
like,
and she's here, so
awful.
Not great. Like, ugh. But Fessy's very confident. He says he knows he brings a lot to the table, and he's looking for someone to make his life better. And it is maybe you can see where Fessy thinks a lot of himself in this conversation with Gabby, and is just as self-centered moving forward in the episode.
I have another idea for a draft that we could do in the future, which I don't know how we would judge it. I guess you'd have to put out like weekly polls or kind of something like that, or just one at the beginning of the end of the season, some kind of like popularity draft of like, who do you think by the end of the season will be at the top of the list of like fan favorite kind of thing? I mean, not that I think Fessy would have been anywhere near the top, but I think he's actively pushing himself towards the bottom. And I don't know that that's something that people would have actively predicted. So I don't know. I feel like if we could get some kind of system going with that, along with, you know, the regular draft, along with the must lose draft, I feel like we could have a million drafts going into this, and that'd be a fun one.
Love a draft. I like that you're trying to become the Challenge Joker's updates here, you know, running the popularity polls, but definitely an interesting choice. I am conflicted myself, where I had like positive feelings about Fessy towards the end of last season, where, yeah, maybe he's not giving the best confessionals or being featured on screen the most, but he was, you know, pretty likable, a good challenge competitor. And this season, while Fessy is not very likable, he's bringing a lot more entertainment. So it's a trade off.
Right. And then as far as Tori goes with all of this, I just wanted to touch on here at the beginning. We've talked a lot about Tori and Anissa's new podcast together, and I feel like their friendship got highlighted for like the first time here. So it does seem like it's a significant part of what's happening in the house with these two. And Big T was like, I'm keeping an eye on them. So I guess they are a lot closer than maybe we ever had thought. And it's just something that we need to just go forward with, even if it didn't really come together as naturally as we expected.
We kind of learned last season, I think, right, that Anissa and Nani were closer than we had thought. Mm-hmm. And with Teresa not really getting any screen time, supposedly she's not that close with Nani. Like, there's only so many veteran women here that have done more than two or three seasons. So I guess, you know, while they are definitely particularly close, there is also it's going to be highlighted because there are a lack of other long existing friendships to be highlighted on the show.
Yeah, and, something to, I guess, just keep an eye on going forward, because I feel like I have no reason to suspect that either of them are going to be not invited onto the next season. I mean, they're doing the official MTV Challenge podcast right now. Just in a time where the veteran, especially, yeah, like you said, like veteran women are apparently like, not that they're hard to come by any means, but like a lot of the ones that they've been calling recent seasons, like, you know, I don't have to name names, or just haven't been getting the calls back. But these two have been pretty consistent. Mm-hmm. Seems like they give the show what they want. So, if this is a relationship that goes forward, sure. I guess that's where we're at. What else here? Speaking of somebody who are they going to get called back? This is a really bad transition because, again, I'm really tired. But Liv is gone.
Liv is gone.
Liv is gone, and so is all my energy.
Well, you know, it happens. So is hers after that. But, you know, it was, again, like we said, like, was this challenge worth it at the time? Like, I don't think so. I think it's only been proven more and more true since, for we lost Nicole, who we know, like, I'm not the biggest fan of, but then to lose Liv too, who don't know her that well, seems perfectly fine, but to lose two people on a daily challenge because of physical evacuations sucks. So in retrospect, like, even worse for that challenge.
Yeah, I am sad to lose Liv. I thought she was potentially, you know, I was enjoying her, I guess, a lot more than I expected. Just she seemed like she had potential just as an entertaining TV character. I don't know if I thought that she was winning by any means, but I don't think that I could have been nearly as disappointed as our good friend and boss, Colin Stone, who is going to lose two more team members in his draft in this episode here. As going forward, point totals aside, you still have a full team. I still have a full team. Haley's only lost one person, and Colin, I'm so sorry, has lost 4 out of 7 of his players so far.
That is rough. Familiar territory for Colin, unfortunately, it seems. But yeah, it sucks. I feel like, could we see Liv again? I feel like it's possible. She's an ally for Big T, so I'm upset she's going home, if anything. But supposedly, I even read that Zahida was supposed to be on this cast until the last minute. So I think that they only have so many UK women who they are calling back at this point. So I don't think it's completely impossible we see her again.
Yeah, I definitely don't think so either. I would hope that we do. And that's really the extent of my comments on Liv. That's, she didn't get much time. She showed some promise, and I hope we see her again.
Yeah, with Liv, we saw also, to bring up the after show again, there was a segment where they talked about her. Nelson was like, this isn't a dating show, which, like, I don't really feel like we saw a lot. It's not like Liv even came from a dating show, so I don't know what that was about. But a lot of people also hyping up Tori, like, yeah, you hurt her and sent her home. And she was like, yeah, like, I did. And it's like, why are we still celebrating, like, physically injuring someone to, like, disqualifying them from the competition? So that, and a later comment from Big T talking about, like, Tori's attitude, like, not great edit here for Tori.
Big T and Tori could be a deadly pair on a future rival season, which I wouldn't hate for Big T. I do think that Tori is a good partner, and I'm only concerned very much about Big T and her chances in that situation rather than caring what it means for Tori. So
Yeah, definitely true. Anything that helps Big T. So,
and as far as the draft goes, don't worry, everybody. We have gotten confirmation this week, and we have learned, well, I don't know if it was exactly this week, but Colin Stone confirmed not competitive. So if this ends up not going his way, he's totally fine.
Yeah, you know, as long as it was a fair fight, I think Colin will be okay.
Exactly. So, which it was, we, you know, we all had the same opportunity to draft all of these players and, you know, fair fight for sure. So, that is your draft update here as, Scally continues to sit at the top, Haley right behind him and me, not right behind her, but behind her, followed by Colin. So what else should we get into? Anything else before this challenge? Yes, of course. We had a big moment before this challenge, which, speaking of Big T, we got to learn a little bit more about her origin story as asked by Devin.
Yeah, I can't believe it's taken 3 seasons to get this. I feel like this is something that they definitely would want to highlight on the show. And so I don't believe Devin and Big T have ever met before this season. So I guess, you know, good time to actually get into it. But Big T has had a hard life. And it is something that we have not really heard about, but makes it, like Devin said, like, he lost one parent and says, like, he almost did not bounce back, and looks at Big T as an inspiration. And it makes it only more incredible that she is, like, the bubbly spirit that she is on the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and not to get, like, too deep or anything, but, like, I don't know, I just, anytime that, like, these people on reality shows, sorry, I felt like that was a harsh way, these people, on any of these shows that you watch, and, you know, you think about them all the time as just a character on a show, anytime that they open up in, like, a real way like this, where it's not forced, you know, TJ isn't asking them, you know, who's your motivation, who are you fighting for at home, it's just, it seems like an organic conversation, I just always appreciate it. I just, you know, especially for, everybody's had such a hard year, you know, wasn't great on my end either. So hearing people like Devin and Big T just talking about, you know, their experiences, and I don't know, it just kind of packs a punch when Devin talks about, you know, he lost, you know, his dad, and talking about, you know, that we got a lot of Devin talking about his dad after his dad had just passed, you know, a couple years ago. But just to hear, you know, a couple years later, to kind of hear how he's doing, which, you know, he was talking about how he almost didn't bounce back, and was like, yeah, that's a real thing. A lot of, you know, it's a tough, impossible thing to go through, you know, for anybody. So just to hear him and Big T being able to relate to that, it was a nice conversation, and you know, nice to hear from Big T just a little bit more about her, because it, you know, it was as Devin said, a pretty inspiring story, which is going to ultimately lead in a random argument between Devin and Amber, because of course that's how Devin is going to transition with his night there.
Yeah, Devin with the worst transition of the night, definitely. Devin must have been tired, because I, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, just absolutely, like, jumps down Amber's throat a little bit. And it's just like, I don't like you. Why are you here? I'm sick of you. Got a little bit more context from this and stuff outside of the show. Apparently, Amber came up and was lying about not voting for Devin. And he's like, no, I know you did, because they told us that you already did. So why are you lying? And it just, I don't feel like it, based on the timeline of the show, that it necessarily adds up 100% his story, but at least gives a little more context.
Are you going to make me exit? Are you going to make me exit? Like, what is that?
It's a line. Like,
yeah, you can exit now. Like, what are we using exit for? I don't know. I don't know where that came from, but, you know, Amber, you can exit now is, you know, something that was said. And yeah, I don't know exactly where this came from either. I guess these two didn't really click very much in the house. Devin talked a little bit on the after show with other Devin. It was nice to have both Devins there to have a, you know, a meeting of the Devins with Devin Simone and Devin Walker. Devin was like, yeah, no, I actually really like Amber. She's become one of, like, the people that I'm the most cool with since the season. So, you know, there's that for you. But in this moment, he wasn't really feeling her. She apparently was, you know, she was tweeting about how she was like, I'm not gonna let him, you know, get what he wanted. You know, he was doing with me kind of something similar to what he was doing with Josh. He thought he was gonna get me to break. He just really didn't like me. I think she was like making fun of him, just saying that, like, she had way more game than he did, which I'm pretty sure to this point, I don't know if it's being shown, but I had heard something about, like, Amber was, like, you know, hooking up with somebody early on in the season. I don't even know why I'm speaking about it, because I don't remember who it was about, but Nicole, maybe? Am I going crazy? I feel like I might have heard something about her and Nicole hooking up, but now Nicole's not even there anymore. Nicole, I have no idea if that's true or not. Somebody can fact check, tweet at us if that did happen, or if it's something in the future, then don't tweet at us and we'll find it, you know, at ourselves. But I don't know. Well, if this is so some rivalry, sure.
But yeah, I don't know. Nicole had a girlfriend at the time of filming, so also
maybe I made that up.
Yeah, might have been. I never heard anything about it, but I also don't usually go searching these things out. So it's possible. I think it really highlights I've talked about it multiple times. Like Amber, even in that tweet thread, talked about how she didn't really have any friends early on. And I think that's been fairly evident on the show, not being friends with any of the other rookie women. And now, like, getting into this random fight with Devin over nothing. I do think a little bit of it probably is people are keep telling Devin how no one's scared of him. He's not intimidated. I feel like Devin usually has a target for his energy in the house. And may that be a bananas or someone where he's punching up, or he finds someone that people are even less scared of than him in Amber M, and, you know, ends up targeting her in this little exchange. So good for her for not backing down, but kind of a, you know, inconsequent. I guess it has consequences, actually. That's the wrong word for it.
I've figured out Amber's game, though, at this point. Not figured out, like, oh, I solved it, but like I got it at this point. I think the picture has been painted here, and it's becoming clearer that we were trying to figure out why, like, is she with the rookies? You know, Big T kind of is leading this coalition of rookies with Gabby and Amber B and Liv when she was still in the game, and whoever else. And I think they were kind of maybe like linked up with a couple of the vets. You know, all of them had their partners by their side, and you know, anybody that they had kind of loose connections with, they were kind of working with as well. And I think that the problem for Amber M is that she, or I don't know if it was a problem necessarily, if she chose not to be with them, but it seems like she was kind of going the route of, like, I'm sure we've all dealt with this before. Some of us maybe even have done this before, of like, you know, you're the younger one in the crowd of whatever the social group is, but you kind of link yourself up with the older kids, and you're like, no, I'm cool enough, I can hang out with them. Like, you know, I belong here. Like, I'm friends with Nell. Like, Amber's out here. Like, I'm friends with Corey, with Nelson. She's going back to them with the drama about everything that happened with Devin. And all the rookies are like, why isn't she talking to us? Like, she's only hanging out with these like veteran guys. And I think Devin calls that out as well. He's like, yeah, she's just trying to play this game where she just runs things back to try to get me into shit, but it's only ruining her game more. So I don't know. I guess she's just playing this game of like, act like you've been here before by only being around the people you've been here before. So it kind of left her in like a middle spot so far, is what I'm gathering. And, you know, at this point it came to a situation where nobody was really feeling, and that's kind of becoming a thing for Jay as well, that nobody was like, you know, I need to protect this person. I just don't exactly know where their head's at. So, you know, if you go home, Amber, you go home.
It's an interesting theory. Like, there definitely is a way to play it where you can act like you're on the same level as all of the vets who are already here without acting like you're above or different than the other rookies. I don't know that that's necessarily the case with Amber, but clearly something was amiss with her and most of the people in this house. You touched on a little bit of her talking to Nelson. There was a couple things I didn't really like here. Amber denies saying that, like, blowing it out of proportion to Nelson and Corey. But as far as we saw on the show, it seemed like it was like not a one-to-one in terms of the story that Nelson and Corey heard. And then Nelson then going to Devin and being like, she was crying on my shoulder. Like, how many times are we going to see like a right. guy that wants to confront another guy, like, falsely claim that a woman was crying when they weren't on the season? Like, maybe you were just mad and you want to actually, like, no. It's like, and so that was interesting, like a savior complex or whatever the case is for the guys in the house. I don't know why that has happened now more than once on this season, but it was kind of a mess that, like, I don't think needed to actually blow up like this.
Yeah, I mean, as far as the way that all played out went, fully related to Devin in terms of, you know, somebody trying to talk to you when you're still asleep. Like, I just felt every ounce of, like, do not talk to me right now. Like, we can do this in even 20 minutes when I'm actually awake. And I just can't even imagine, like, at that extent of somebody coming to you with, like, the energy that Nelson came in the room with, of just, like, wanting to hash it all out, which is, like, totally understandable. He wanted to defend his partner, but Devin looked like he literally just woke up, and I was like, yeah, I wouldn't want to talk talk to anybody then either. But this is the Challenge House. You don't get to decide, you know, if somebody's fired up, they're going to come talk to you right then and there. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Devin goes about it in his own Devin way. You know, talk to Kyle, talk to Big T, then come back. I'm not doing this. I'm going to sleep here. You know, you go away. And Nelson did end up going away. I think he said, I'm going to stand here until you talk. And then he was like, you know what? Fine. I'm going to leave. So Nelson really not, you know, doing much to help himself there, making it seem like he was going to follow through on his, you know, his threat to just get the answer right then and there.
No, definitely not. He is not the type to necessarily have a war of the words per Nelson, but it was very relatable. Like you said, if I am asleep, I might not remember what I said. So I want to actually be awake. So understood from that point. But he also, on the same line, could have just been like, can you please let me get out of bed. I will come speak to you. But it was not happening. And I feel like neither side was willing to bend here.
Mm-hmm. I also, I relate to Devin in that aspect. And then I relate to Nelson in other aspects. You know how like people tend to call out Nelson for like, you know, sometimes he just puts the wrong word in the wrong sentence, you know, just mm-hmm. whatever sounds right in the moment. I think, not everybody, you know, goes through, talking like that. I definitely do. I don't know if, I do as much as Nelson does, but, he was doing the podcast with Tori and Anissa this week. He came on for a bit, and talked to them. And at one point he was talking about how appreciative he is of the fans because the fans keep the show running. And he's like, you know, we endure all of you for, you know, and whatnot. I was like, you endure the what? I don't think that's what she meant to say. I was like, but it sounded right in your head. And I was like, that I relate to, because it just, the word felt good and you just put it in the sentence and hoped that it was fine and walked away from it. So I was like, all right, Nelly, I'm with you on that one.
Yeah, he's a good character for that reason. Like, yes. Exactly that reason. The confessionals from Nelson, always going to be good.
Yeah, and, you know, Tori and Anissa were like, you know, Nelly, like, nobody, you know, people give you a hard time, but you have a great heart. And I'm like, yeah, I'm picking that up. As much as, you know, we can give him shit mm-hmm. for, you know, a lot of his gay moves and all that stuff. I don't know that I can sit here and, you know, accuse him by any means of being a bad person. I'm sure I'm forgetting things that have happened in past seasons as I say that. But I don't know, just the heart he's been showing lately, everything with Corey last season and then this season, just kind of putting it all out there with, you know, protecting his partner who's, you know, he had no ties to prior to this season, but he saw, you know, this tiny younger girl being picked on by a bunch of other people, or specifically Devin, kind of was like, you know what, I'm not dealing with this. And I don't know. Mm-hmm. It was nice. Whatever.
Yeah, I would say Nelson definitely has his moments that always I'm like, I can't fully get on board, but he seems to be, and seems to be, he is the type where he will act first and then think later. And so where last season and he was apologizing and saying that, like, watching in horror at how he spoke to Kayla last season and like that argument and other things like that, where he just acts and then realizes, oh, I screwed up. So that is where I still have like a little bit of hesitancy with Nelson, but he undeniably, since, you know, back half of last season into this season, he's definitely had the hero upswing.
Remember when Nelson used to win eliminations?
Yeah. Ooh, that record has taken a hit.
Yeah. He was like 9-1 at one point. And now I think he's lost like three straight, maybe two or three straight. Definitely
three or four.
Yeah. So that's that for Nelly T. Well, we'll see him rebound one day. I don't know if we'll ever see him get the win. It doesn't seem like, you know, eight seasons in, I don't know if next season will be eight or nine, whatever it ends up being. It doesn't seem, you know, to be inspiring the confidence that the win is, you know, for sure going to happen in the way that I could see, you know, I could see it happening for Corey, you know, whether it's this season or in the future. I could see it still happening for Tori, even though it's, you know, been a while. But Nelson, I'm not, you know, the most inspired by, but, you know, we can talk about that. When I guess the next draft comes, but for now, anything else before we get into the most exciting daily challenge that this show has had in years?
No, and I'm not willing to humor that. The challenge was so bad.
Okay. On a scale of 1 to 10, what do you got? Of like 10 being the most exciting?
It was a 0.5. This was such garbage.
Generous indeed. Talk us through how you felt watching it.
Yeah, so there's like multiple things. As soon as they were like bring them there, and they're like, there are lava caves below. And I was like, oh my God, I'm excited. And like, they fly through and show like a definite walkway. Like, you can walk in here. And they were like, and then you're going to fly drones. And as soon as I heard that, I was like, this is going to go so badly, because flying a drone in an open field while you are in sight of the drone is hard enough, let alone through VR goggles, and then you're not wearing the VR goggles, someone else is giving you direction through the VR goggles, and most of these people have never flown a drone, and then they have to do a puzzle. And I was like, "Not, this is not happening. I don't know how anyone thinks this is going to work." And it didn't at all.
Yeah, I had a friend once who had a drone, and he, you know, thought it was the coolest thing ever. We would every once in a while end up somewhere where he would be flying the drone, and it was just, you know, the most boring thing ever to anybody that's not flying the drone. It's not like I'm looking up at it being like, ooh, cool, and you, like, you get cool pictures from it, and I'd be like, oh, cool pictures, but it was never like, there's not a single process of a drone going up in the air. Maybe if you're the one controlling it, maybe you're having fun with it, but I don't know. It's not for me. It's not, the appeal is not there for me. And it didn't seem to be there for many of the people in the challenge. Everybody except for the team who ended up winning did awful at it. Even with them, the behind the scenes info, if you haven't heard already, they had a practice day where they were able to fly some drones around the day before, and I guess that, you know, gave them a little bit of a tip that that would be involved in the challenge that we saw here today for this day. But yeah, still didn't seem to do much. Everybody sucked at it. TJ got a good laugh in. So at least if nothing else, we got some fun TJ laughing. TJ laughing. Oh, wow. Colin, you proud of me?
But the thing is, the upside on this challenge, like, even if everyone is good at flying the drones, I think it might have been more boring. Like, they're not, like you said, they're not exciting to watch fly around.
It was
especially
so
when, like, there are two. They're not crashing into each other or anything. Actually, the best moment from the challenge was it Big T that almost flew the drone into someone else's head? So, like, beyond that, there was nothing here, and there was no opportunity for there to be.
Like, even the Lolo and Nam arguing, where Lolo was potentially going to be a little bit of that Lolo Jones we've been looking and waiting for, was not even exciting, because it was just, you know, very quick of like, oh, like, he's not listening to me. Like, all men never listen to me. And it was a funny line, I guess. And Anissa was like, I'm laughing at them. And I'm like, I want to be laughing at them, but I just don't care about this.
Yeah, it was just like completely took it out, especially when rewatched for the episode. Skip past the whole challenge. Don't need to rewatch that again.
Yeah. Everybody failed at it except for Tori and Devin, who somehow got it going and worked together. This rival friendship, frenemy, rivalry, whatever the hell you want to call it, who even cares, is, you know, definitely taking a focus here. They talked in the beginning of the episode. Devin was like, yeah, I wanted to take Tori because, you know, it's she's my biggest frenemy. Keep your friends close, your enemies closer. So, you know, this dynamic between the two of them, now that we're exploring it a little bit more, like, if it weren't for the fact that these two specifically teamed up on this season, this is never a storyline that would have ever been explored ever again on this show. Nobody cared about it, but or cares about it, but for the time being, like, you can tell these two don't actually hate each other. They're probably not calling each other outside of the show, you know, hey, what's up, hey, how's it going, hey, did you watch the episode this week? But when they're together, it seems like they have a friendly enough relationship that this team is going to work for as long as it sticks together. So there's that.
100%, especially knowing that there's an expiration date on this, because Tori's not sticking with Devin. She said in the episode, I told him I'm not sticking with him. I'm not running a final with him. It does not matter. So I'm enjoying this while we get it, knowing that there will be another one to come. And the switching pairs has been a giant success in my book. So that makes any team that I know is willing to do that and likely to do that even more interesting for me.
To close out this challenge, TJ tells them, you guys were the opposite of good. I really appreciate you all just coming in here and giving it your all. So some sarcastic TJ on the way out there. But yeah, Tori and Devin get the win. And it's interesting here because I noted, and I'll talk about this more when we get to the specific, some of the specific votes, but just noticing how much a lot of these players are voting and playing the game differently from their partner. And the fact that, like, Tori and Devin realize this right off the bat after they get this win of like, what are we going to do? Like, both of us are playing with completely different people on completely different sides of the house. You have Amber and Josh who are like worried, and, you know, Amber, I guess, worried for good reason. She is going to end up getting, you know, voted into elimination or you know, could have been if it was a girl's day. But, you know, both of them are Amber and Josh being worried. And it's like, I don't think either Devin or Tori know what they're doing here because they are, like I said, playing completely different games. It's, you know, anybody's guess as to what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. And you get Tori and she says, like, why aren't the strong players teaming up and taking out these rookies and these weak players? And it's like, let's look at Tori's voting history for the first 3 weeks. Tori, you voted against Ashley and CT, Natalie and Wes, and then Devin and Nicole. So I don't feel like you are actually trying to do that. And so now that it is all of a sudden she can see, maybe my game is not going as clean as it used to be when I was sitting pretty with Corey. It's funny to see the turnaround that, like, you helped orchestrate this mess.
Yeah, it literally just it genuinely feels like Tori and Anissa are not necessarily leading, because I don't know that for sure, but like kind of towards the head of that side of the house, and then Big T and her group seems to be the other side. So I never would have expected that that's like the showdown of the season that seems to be building here. All throughout the episode, it was a lot of, you know, Tori or Big T commenting on Tori commenting on how, you know, the weaker girls are, which, I mean, if you're reading the edit, whenever Tori does get into the elimination, it's probably going to be against one of these weak girls, and you know, we'll see if she can put her money where her mouth is, but lock that in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely think that's possible. It's something that we're going to see this season. I would push back a little bit on saying that it's two real sides of the house. I definitely think that this is super fluid, as you said, with the votes. I think that I don't know if it was just a combination of who was really available to be voted in, or if this is going to be a trend we see moving forward, because people are all over the place in this house, it seems.
I don't know. I've been viewing it really like as a split. I feel like the word split has come up a lot, especially from Big T talking about the rookies being split off from whoever, you know, whoever I guess they're not playing with. Jay talking about how him and Teresa are floating in the game this season, and, you know, about how they're playing both sides, and even Josh, you know, confirming that by saying he doesn't know if he can fully trust Jay, which is crazy. We'll get into all of that in a bit, but just of the fact that, like, you know, you would think that he could trust Jay, and it does seem, I don't know. I really have been seeing it as kind of a two-sided game. Definitely not, you know, as locked in as level 6 versus Faute by any means, but mm-hmm. It does seem like there are kind of groups that seem to have formed. Big Brother, sure, Kind of on one side, and then maybe Corey, Nelson, whoever else on the other.
Exactly. In that, I would agree that there are groups, but I would not say like one versus, you know, two sides necessarily. Sure. Where there's, you know, TYB, and then like everyone has their own connections, and they're going to do what's best for them individually. Like, even TYB is like one of the first ones we name, and like none of them voted the same. Like, any of their partners all voted the same this week. So it's definitely going to be at least a little confusing moving forward.
Okay, so how about this? Picture the Star of David. Maybe one okay. group is one triangle, one group is the other triangle, and then there are people in all of the different six corners of the star, with some people kind of all in the middle. The Jay's in the middle, the Teresa in the middle, and I don't know who else. That's what I'm now picturing. The Star of David is this yeah. season.
I like going for the Star of David versus the usual Venn diagram, but mm-hmm. I'm down for it.
All right, we're going to do that. That is going to be the layout of the house, and somebody feel free to draw that up with the specific where everybody is. Everybody gets their own corner. We'll see how that goes, and I don't know, keep track of that. But you know, Devin's talking to CT about how he's, you know, now that he's got the power, whatever, he's going after people who have either wronged him, which is Nelson and Amber in his book, or, you know, people associated with Big Brother. So that's who he's planning on. Him and Tori are going to end up getting together, you know, when they all go out that night, picking people that they want to keep safe. Tori says Anissa, Corey, and Leroy. Devin says CT, Nam, and Kyle, which ultimately ends up leaving only Nelson, Amber, or Josh and Nani to go in. Tori's trying to take Nani off the table, which makes sense. I mean, you know, why would any of them really need to go after Nani right now? It seems like Nelson and Amber are the clear pick that isn't going to really mess anybody's game up too much. But it, you know, none of this is even going to matter because to an extent, because Tori is going off on this thing about how she wants to be the one that goes in. So the entire dynamic between Tori and Devin is, like I said, I don't think they would have explored it much had they not been a team. But now that they are a team, I do think it's bringing an interesting story to the show.
And I hope more teams like this end up winning challenges, because I like that they have different agendas moving forward. Curious choice for Tori to be saving Leroy over Nani there. I thought that was interesting because I felt like Tori and Nani were pretty close after, was it War of the Worlds 2? So I was pretty surprised there, but I really like the dynamics of these teams that are not necessarily so in sync.
Mm-hmm. And the problem, you know, to tie in last episode to this episode, we are going to get Josh and his, 20 minutes of screen time here in this episode. Josh and Devin, we saw what happened with them last week. And Josh and Tori are going to have a conversation. Both of them do seem like they've had a couple of drinks. And Tori's like, yeah, Devin hates you. Devin does not like you. He hates you. He wants you gone. He might kill you. He hates you so much. And it ends up turning into the whole thing with Josh versus Jay. What are your thoughts on everything that played out here with Josh?
Let's start at the beginning. So first of all, weird move by Tori. I don't really feel like I know why she needs to do this. If Josh is going to end up going in anyway, like, why are we getting him like this worked up already? We all know what type of person Josh is. So like, give him the heads up the next day, especially when he's not drinking. But for Josh then to, I feel like with Josh, him confronting Jay is a little bit of, he knows he's going to have to go against someone probably pretty soon and very possibly this round, and looks at the board of who he can beat, thinks Jay is one of the only people on this board, and convinces himself like, oh, I hate him, because he needs to in order to rationalize why he's going against him. And, you know, really picks this fight for absolutely no reason.
Yep, that's pretty much what my read on it was as well. There was nothing that, you know, really stood out where it was like Josh, you know, being like, I cannot trust Jay. It was that, you know, I guess maybe feelings have been building up there where Jay hasn't made him feel the most comfortable, but all along the way they've had, you know, Casey as a connection there to kind of, you know, bridge the gap between them and make them know that, you know, the other person is working with us, even if you don't talk to them a whole lot. And then, you know, a couple of drinks, you know, especially into this night, and Josh is gonna, you know, just tell Jay exactly how he's really feeling, that he doesn't think he could trust him. And I guess this conversation really just doesn't go well, especially with Jay telling him, you know, I'm not like these pussies you think you can talk to. Like, I will step in your mouth. I'm like, Jay, I have not heard you be this loud on the show once. But, you know, if you want to get that call back, you got to get something going, bud. I mean, a lot of people like you. You got a great social game. You know, we'll see how far it carries you into this season, but you got to give them something for them to be like, we need Jay back again. He showed off, you know, some impressive eliminations last season, and that's really what locked his ticket in for this one. But I don't know that I feel at this point, you know, 100% confident that we're going to see him again. You know, you got to put in a little bit of work for that spot. So if this is going to kind of help him along that path, you know, sounds good to me. And it ends up just, I mean, you know, not in a great way for him here, because it ends up being him and Teresa that become a pretty viable option for who might be the house vote. And, you know, it's obviously going to go in their favor, but still don't feel great about them going forward.
No, not totally. And I think that also outside information from, I believe, the podcast with Tori and Anissa was, they seem to have sussed out a little bit that Teresa has been running a little bit of information around the house. And I don't know if they know it at this point, but they definitely figure it out. And but she seems to, early in the episode, kind of gave Jay a heads up that people might start looking at you as a target. I do find them to be a really interesting pair, in Teresa being like a vet who's come back to the game after a long layoff, and Jay being as close as you can be to a rookie without it being your first season, basically. So very interesting dynamic there. But for Josh to be, I feel like Josh has pulled out this lines a lot, like, trust me, you don't want this as me as an enemy, like, I'm not trying to start things with you. It's like, you say that every time as you're starting things. So none of this super surprising, unfortunately. I do agree Jay has not really popped this season, and this probably only benefits him after being basically invisible for three episodes until this point. So probably not a fun experience, but probably good for his challenge career.
Yeah, but obviously, like we said, he doesn't end up going in here. So to kind of like bounce back to Josh here, I feel like we can kind of wrap up everything about Josh, you know, right now, right here. That's how people say that, not right here, right now. Josh, you know, he's throwing this fit. He's you know, just more of the same with Josh. It's becoming not exhausting, but like boring. I almost feel like to talk about him, you know, because it's the same story every week of like him getting emotional about this and that and crying and, you know, throwing a fit with somebody new, whoever it is, every week. And it's the same story. You know, it's like, is it just all drama? Is good drama? Is entertaining? No, not to me. At least not with Josh. It's, you know, we talked about how he's not in the best mind state going into the season, and that's becoming very clear with every passing conversation that he has. It's like, this doesn't even seem like him trying to make TV at a certain point anymore. Like it maybe used to. It just seems like he's genuinely not doing so hot and is kind of taking it out with poor gameplay, and Nani's getting dragged down, you know, by his side as well. But just, you know, him getting to the elimination as well and feeling so pumped up. Like you can tell he was genuinely ready to go into that hall brawl. And I you know, I don't know if anybody thought otherwise of maybe this is a bad idea for Josh. Like, why is he trying to go into something, you know, some kind of physical elimination? Why does he want to do hall brawl against Nelson? Josh is a big guy, right? Like he works out a lot. His eliminations so far to this point in his challenge career haven't always been like strength based, as far as I remember. You know, he had the strategic one mixed in with strength against Jordan is the one that stands out to my memory. But, you know, I could definitely see him having a good shot in a hall brawl, no matter who he's up against. Maybe not like a Fessy, but against anybody else, I give him a pretty fair shot. So the fact that he was so pumped up to go into that and then ends up getting like the air let out of his sails of, you know, this isn't going to be your elimination, you're not going in. I get why he was disappointed, but again, I'm just like not having the most fun talking about all of this with him, because it just feels like you kind of feel so, like, bad for him, but also don't. I don't know. I'm just all over the place with this guy.
Even before like listening to Tori and Anissa or watching the after show, I did not have the same read that it was genuine that Josh wanted to go in. I thought at best he expected to go in and was hyping himself up, but the multiple people have said, like Tori said, Josh was begging, do not throw me in. I do not want to go in no matter what. When I get there, do not throw me in. And so for them, him to say once like, no, give me this. Like, I don't buy it. I think it was a very empty offer. I feel like Josh rightfully so should be worried about sticking around on a season rather than getting his first elimination win. Josh is not winning a season by any means, regardless if he gets, you know, one elimination, not winning the season. So let's stick around and actually guarantee you're getting called back rather than going again in a hall brawl against Nelson, which maybe a decent shot, better than I would have given him in the past, but I don't think that it is, you know, as 50-50 as he may think.
Yeah, I totally bought it that Josh was trying to go in there. And maybe it's because I relate to him as somebody who gets very wrapped up in my emotions sometimes, and the anxiety that he was feeling, like, just against, you know, love to find all these commonalities between myself and Josh, all these things that I relate to him about, because that's what I want. But I do feel similarities with him just being an emotional person, the anxiety that he seems to be displaying at various times in his reality TV career. Like, I don't think it's just him. I think the red / gold skull aspect really puts a lot of anxiety in a lot of these people. Like, it adds an extra element to the game of, like, you know, the longer that you go into the season and that you don't have the skull, the more the anxiety builds. And for I'm somebody who, like, you know, when I you know, I'm just, anything that you need to get out of the way, anything that you have coming up that, like, you're not looking forward to, if there's an opportunity to just do it and get it out of the way, like, that's usually my preferred method. So I think you're seeing that with some of these people that are, you know, not the people who are going in confidently, not Jenny going in against Jen where she knows she's going to get her skull and go back to the house, but somebody like Josh in this moment where he's just like the anxiety does seem to be building up, whatever he's going through this season. Like, I'm believing him on that end of things. And the fact that he's just like, who was it last season that was like, Jenna, that she was like, I want to go in, and if I get my gold skull, great, then I'm going to go back to the game. If not, then I'm going to go home and just kind of like release all of these feelings that I'm having right now. So I don't remember exactly what I said about Jenna at the time, but this is how I'm getting, you know, the message I'm getting from Josh here. I believe it. I get it. And, you know, I think we might've seen a whole different story from him going forward if he was able to stay in the game here, get the skull and get back in the house. I feel like it was just a lot of weight on his shoulders. He was ready to just, you know, take out on Nelson.
I am curious to see how Josh would be in the house, especially, you know, taking a Gold Skull, getting his first elimination win, and especially getting someone out like Nelson, that would be interesting. I still don't believe that he would have beat Nelson necessarily here, but I do think that it probably lends to a different storyline for Josh, or at least how he's feeling. I would be curious to see if he does default to how he's generally defaulted to on most of these seasons, and still would be pretty emotional. I feel like he's not going to ever really get rid of that completely, but I am interested to see if some of that insecurity goes away after an elimination win against someone, you know, so competitive, especially.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I still have him at the zero career eliminations, but I don't know. Maybe he is fired up this season, and we'll see how it goes. I don't know who's the remaining field of guys. We've lost Wes so far. We lost Nelson. Is that it? Oh my God, this season is only 4 weeks in, isn't it? Wow. That is something. Mm-hmm. It feels like it feels longer, but that's fine there. Moving in, I guess, unless you have anything else to the deliberation and the votes, where do you want to go with any of this? Anything stand out to you from this part of the episode?
Well, we lost Joseph also that you forgot about. So
yes, we did. Apologies to our America's Got Talent friend who I'm looking at our draft board. And notably, he is not on it because he was not drafted. So, and Michi is also not drafted, but, you know, it's fine.
Yeah, Michi outperforming expectations, I guess. Yeah. But
good fact check, though.
Yeah. As far as the deliberation, I do enjoy that when put on the spot, Josh does not call out a name. That is something that I have to do. I like that Nelson makes it pretty clear, like, this is going to be a guy's day. You are voting for a guy. People seem very confused by that. My assumption is because Michi was not allowed to compete in the challenge, but I don't see how he would have, given that he did not have a partner.
Right.
And so my assumption is people probably thought, since Michi couldn't earn himself safety and he would be safe from elimination tonight because he was not available to vote for, I presume, then that means it's a women's elimination, because otherwise why would he be immune? But I guess because he did not have the opportunity to get safety, otherwise he was given it. Mm-hmm. If she had been taken out after the challenge, I presume, like Devin, he would have been able to be voted in. So once he is not able to be voted in, I guess that's where the question of if it's a men's or elimination or women's elimination came in. But Nelson was correct here. They're not going to have two male rogue agents sitting off on the side and then have, you know, three more men's eliminations in a row later. Like, it was always going to be a men's. So it was very interesting to see so many people willing to kind of toss aside Nelson at this point.
Right. Yeah, and I think it was Anissa and Tori that were saying that I, you know, heard this week about how Nelson was just kind of, you know, not, or I guess this team as a whole was really not tied into any specific alliance, not tied into like many people, which is funny because Fessy later on is going to be talking about how, you know, he knew that Corey and Nelson had all of these connections that he wasn't really a part of, but it seemed, according to Anissa or Tori, whichever one of them, I think it was Anissa, that they did not have many ties, and that's why it was so easy for all of these people to say his name, and especially for Amber, all of these people that did not fully connect with her, it was like, all right, I mean, people are friendly enough with Jay, he's, you know, playing his game as well as he can, and Teresa being, you know, a vet, if that's helping her at all, kind of just put the votes into their direction. These votes ended up coming down, I mean, I don't know that any of them were too surprising. Corey votes for Jay and Teresa, Josh votes for Jay and Teresa, Lolo voted for Nelson and Amber. I guess her and Nam are working on the side of following the votes. That's not really a side, like you said, I guess. You know, this, remember, this is our Star of David, not a two-sided house here. Kyle votes for Anissa and Fessy, so I guess we had a couple of burn votes there. Darrell also voted that way. Cam voted for CT and Big T, which was a vote. Why not? There was also another vote here that Kyle, I said Kyle already. Leo voted for Josh and Nani. So, yeah, I don't know. Some people all over the board. Big T voted for Amber and Nelson.
Yeah, there was definitely a large majority voting for Nelson. And like they even said in the show, some of their friends, there were a lot of people who voted a different way than their partner. I believe yes. There were only 3-4 partners that, mm-hmm. like teams that voted the same way. Everyone else basically was split all up. So very interesting like, let's say, a Natalie. Natalie is with Corey, and Corey's best friend is Nelson in the house. But then Natalie goes ahead and votes for him because she's not going to vote for Jay because he was on Survivor. So it's interesting to see these dynamics where they clearly want two different things. And I'm glad that people are willing to stray from their partner, even if they are the rookie in the equation.
Right. I'm not sure how many people pause down on the screen here regularly to see, you know, who's voting together, who's not, and how all these votes are going. I know I don't, unless I'm taking the notes here, which is what I was doing. So I'll run down some of these of, you know, because as I was saying, I think a lot of the way that people are voting separately shows that they are playing two different games. So Kyle and Cam voted separately, which neither of them ended up voting for Amber and Nelson. So they were kind of burning their votes anyway, but did vote separately. Gabby and Leo voted separately. Gabby did vote for Amber and Nelson. Anissa and Fessy voted separately. Anissa did vote for Amber and Nelson. CT and Big T voted together. Lolo and Nam voted together. Jay and Teresa voted together, which makes sense because they were the other option. But Nani did not vote with Josh. Casey did not vote with Leroy. Amber B did not vote with Darrell. Natalie did not vote with Corey. So a lot of people that are really just, you know, again, playing their own game. So that's that.
Yeah, super interesting. And even a lot of these people that threw their votes, like a Cam or a Fessy especially, like, they're pretty close with Nelson. So I get that, yeah, you didn't vote for him, but you definitely didn't help him at all here when knowing that he was one of the two names on the block. Like, it is pretty ballsy to go ahead and throw your vote just randomly when you know that one of your good friends potentially could be going in.
Yeah. Lost my train of thought. Knew that would happen once in this here tonight, but that's fine. We can keep on going. Anything else here before we get to the elimination?
No, I'm good to move to the elimination.
All right. Well, we're going to see Nelson and Amber get the votes. Tori and Devin both seem shocked a little bit by it. I don't know what they expected. Well, okay, let me ask you that. What did they expect was happening there?
I mean, it seemed like Tori wanted this to happen, so I don't know why she was so shocked.
I know. Both of them were like, what?
Yeah, I guess that they really did not think that it would pull through. Maybe they switched to wanting Jay and Teresa at the last minute, but I don't know why they were so surprised.
Yeah, well, either way, the Nelson and Amber are going to get voted in, which if you have not, or if you didn't pay attention to this very quick clip in the episode, or have not heard anything in, you know, post episode media, apparently Nelson was dealing with some issues. He had his thumb popped out in the challenge with the truck that he was battling against Leroy up on the top of the truck in the last episode, and apparently his thumb popped out. He did not go to medical because he decided that he was worried, you know, Nicole had to go to medical and she did not come back in the game. So he was like, I'm not telling anybody about this. He had Corey pop it back in for him, and he was like, I'm not doing that. So he was already injured going into the elimination. He also was talking about a back problem that he had coming into the season with, so that's all happening for him. And obviously, you know, Amber, people I guess were looking at her as maybe an easy win. Tori definitely was, and that's why she's going to end up saying Anissa and Fessy. Fessy wanted to go in against anybody in Hall Brawl, and Anissa, you know, I guess she was, Tori was giving Anissa a quote unquote easy win because, Tori said that she knew Amber would have, you know, lost in that one to Anissa. So, elimination time, it is Hall Brawl. Josh is not going to get his wish to go in. Tori is not going to get her wish to go in, which later Devin is like, can you like, please stop being mad at me? Like, it was a guy's elimination. Like, this is, you know, I guess he figured, I told you it was going to be a guy's elimination. So Tori's going to have to wait to get her skull, but Fessy does not have to wait to get his skull. Hall Brawl, it is his time to shine, and shine he does not, even though he gets a skull.
So wild. I mean, we started talking about this decision. Yes, Fessy greatly underperforms expectations, I would say, but at the same time, like, Nelson's no joke. He has won specifically these types of physical eliminations time after time, and it's only broken that streak recently, but I would not have been absolutely floored had Nelson won. So I think that it was not the best choice. Everyone gave him a very hard time for not going in against Joseph, And so to see all of a sudden he sees Hall Brawl, Tori reminds him, like, bro, it's Nelson. And he's like, I don't care. I'm going in. So it's just like the blatant choice to just send his friend home just floored me out of Fessy.
And I really want to find what the answer is here. And I get the easy answer is just Fessel is a moron. You know, quote that the sound drop there. But I just feel like there's got to be something more going on inside that man's head of like, what was he thinking? I know, I get the easy answer is that he's dumb, but I feel like there has to be more there. I wonder if and when, you know, a lot of these people get interviewed mid-season, whether it's on this new podcast or sometimes, you know, Scott and Derek are able to get them on Challenge Mania. I hope that a Fessy interview can come sometime soon because I feel like I need to know more information about this. He has been getting so close to Corey and Nelson. He even talked about, you know, I went to Corey's baby gender reveal last year or whatever it was. This is not somebody that you want to be taking out of the game. Yes, you're going to get your skull, but you are eliminating a number from right out underneath you by trampling them inside of this hall and ringing your hitting your button. In what world does that make sense? I mean, I'm not, you know, spewing out any hot takes here by any means. Neither of us are going to. It's just mind-boggling the lengths that Fessy goes to in these games to not necessarily ruin a great position, but just, you know, squander any chance that he might have had to get better footing.
I feel like it does ruin a great position. Like, I understand that he may be able to make up for it, but it doesn't change the fact that he was in a great position and now no one should trust him. There's no reason forward that a single person should trust Fessy coming into any challenge moving forward. It was to the point where Fessy and Nelson were allegedly talking about they're going to move in together. They are best friends. They're so close. They're going to, as soon as things, probably before things open up, going to travel and like go hang out and do things. And like there's that to that level of close. And like I said before, he didn't vote for him, but he threw his vote. And so there's so many times where like simply voting against Nelson would have been like a huge betrayal. And if someone else was, if Fessy did not want to go in against Nelson and someone threw them in against each other, it's like, wow, how could someone throw in these two best friends? Like, that's such a like dick move. And so for Fessy to make that choice himself and to choose to send home Nelson by his own hands, and in week four of this season, we are not at the end, we are not even close, and Fessy just, no problem, I don't need him ever again in the history of my challenge career, is absolutely wild.
It's beyond wild. Yeah, what are we, like 2 weeks in, maybe 2.5 weeks into the game at this point? You know, it's a 2-month-long filming process for this stuff. Yeah, he's got his big brother people, but it's just, it's so, so bad. Like you mentioned, like Cam mentioned on the show, why would anyone feel any need to trust him ever again? Corey is completely shocked, feeling betrayed that the second it happens, you know, he's in confessional days later, but, you know, telling us how he felt in the moment. And I mean, I get that Josh is out here, you know, upset for himself, but like him giving us that, wow, 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 where Nani's like, shut the fuck up, Josh. Like it just, you know, really is telling us all exactly how all of them are feeling. And it's really how I think everybody watching is feeling. Fessy said to us, he's like, I thought I was doing him a favor. But, you know, and like Jay says, it's just a bad move from every single step of the way from start until finish. When he ends up picking his new partner, we'll get to that in a second. But, you know, the fact that he doesn't consult Anissa, the fact that he does this so under the table, the fact that he chooses to go in against Nelson, every aspect of this, you can't find a single part of it. At least I can't. It sounds like at least you can't. We'll continue to listen to other challenge media, I'm sure, throughout the week to see if anybody can find the silver lining in where Fessy comes out of this week in a better position. Okay, maybe you can give him, he's got a gold skull, he's got his pass to the final. Maybe that's it. But beyond that.
Yeah, and it's not even like, oh, he went in to save Josh, like his other ally. Apparently, it was Devin talked about how as soon as, because Devin, we talked about how we thought coming into the season, like, okay, Devin has a pretty good relationship with Nelson and Corey. It hasn't seemed to materialize too much on the show. But Devin said as soon as they saw it was Hallbrawl, he, instead of throwing in Josh, was supposedly going to actually throw in Jay to give Nelson the best shot of coming home. Mm-hmm. So Fessy's not even protecting his other ally here. Like, he is 100% making a selfish decision and going in. And then, let alone how he plays the elimination, is absolutely wild. It's just, I went into this elimination expecting Josh versus Nelson and was like, this is going to be funny. I am going to enjoy this. And so I was already excited. And then as soon as I found out it's Fessy versus Nelson, like, I fell off the couch. I could not believe this was happening.
Yeah, I mean, if this was like the LFC Stockwatch podcast for the challenge, I can't find myself giving Fessy a higher rating than like a 2 for the week. I mean, or, you know, overall, maybe you bump him up to a 3 now that he has the gold skull in his pocket. But it's just looking around, looking at the rest of the house right now, it's just who has any reason to trust this man, whether it's this season or going forward. Maybe he's going to go back and give an apology tour to everybody involved. And, you know, I don't know what came over me. I saw Hallbrawl and I knew that it was my moment. I had to go in. Maybe he tries to find some kind of blame to put on Nelson now that Nelson isn't there to defend himself anymore and say, you know, I just wasn't getting great vibes from him or something stupid to throw him under the bus and, you know, not put the blame entirely on himself. I don't know. Obviously we'll see next week how it all plays out and how he, you know, tries to rebound from this, or if it even plays out at all. Again, it is Fessy still. And are people going to, you know, feel so betrayed by him that they throw him into an elimination knowing that there's a good chance he's going to take out whoever he goes against, and that could be your friend? I don't know. Maybe he does do just fine getting all the way towards the end of the game. But as far as future prospects go, and, you know, future alliances and people that, you know, Nelson said, I don't know if you already said this and I didn't catch it, that they had not, the two of them have not talked since this happened. Since they were in the sand on that day filming this elimination, they have not spoken one word.
It's so wild. Like, I know he said he's reached out, but like, Nelson's not going to just forgive. Like, even if you forgive, like I said, there's no one's going to trust you. I don't see why, if you see like CT or Nam end up down in the sand, like, why not throw Fessy in? Like, I can't trust him anyway. Let's send him in against a good competitor. And if he comes home, who cares? I already don't trust him. So if I get a good elimination, like one of those two, I'm not going to be that upset about it. But there's so many consequences to these decisions that he made.
And like, what was going on with the elimination itself? Like, he was like holding Nelson down, like playing with his helmet, like taking the thing up and down. Like, it was almost like, I don't even know what he was going. I mean, Lolo had a confessional there being like, yeah, he's, you know, it's a classic move. You break the other person's will to continue on in the game, tire them down, which, yeah, I get. But it was just this guy is his friend. He was doing, you know, all the dirty tricks he could think of, like sticking his face in the ground, holding his legs down, like pinning him to the as far as he could to make sure it was like impossible for him to get up. Like, a lot of tricks that you have seen before in a Hallbrawl. It's not like these are off the table, but it was enough to the point where TJ had to call Fessy out and be like, no more dirty play after one round of this.
Yeah, I know that Nelson talked about supposedly he broke the visor, which if you see on the second run, I don't think either of them have visors anymore because Fessy broke Nelson's. But he like broke the visor, would pick it up and just like shove dirt in his face. And then you mentioned the hurt thumb before. He would like put his knee into his thumb, hold his thumb into the ground so it was bending when Nelson couldn't even like make a fist. It was so injured. Just picking him up, slamming his back into the ground. Like, it was dirty play to a point where like, okay, you know, there's no rules here. And so like, do whatever you gotta do to win. And even I was like, oh, this is bad. Like, this is not enjoyable to watch.
Give me the, you know, like, is it an above 0% chance that Fessy is planning the Nelson Fessy rivals team or something? You know,
no,
that,
there's no shot.
No, I mean, give me something.
3 weeks. No, we gave him too much credit for 3 weeks. He's not planning.
I know. I wish, give me that confessional where, no, that's not going to be a confessional on the show. Like, no. Give me that interview where he at least acknowledges the opportunity that he created for himself. Like, maybe that's what you can get out of this. You know, him and Nelson working together on a future season, that is a decent amount of strength and they, you know, probably can play socially well enough. But then again, I don't know that I just talked about how I don't think Nelson is going to get his win. Maybe maybe in his career. So maybe that's not the person you want to tie yourself to. I don't understand any of this from Fessy's perspective. I don't think anybody does. I didn't see a single positive comment towards Fessy on social media at all. And it was funny. My experience with this episode, I wasn't able to watch it live on Wednesday night, but I was like, I'm not avoiding Twitter for the next however long until I watch it. So I did, you know, end up getting spoiled on what happened here through everybody else's tweets. And all I pretty much saw was just Fessy being a moron, and watching it all out, it was just exactly what I expected, and you know, maybe even worse. So
yeah, it's just, there's no good outcome from here. I think I'm a little higher on Nelson's winning chances moving forward. I feel like probably just as good as some of the other people in that tier, but for Fessy, I don't know. I can't explain it. There's nothing that's going to make it make sense, and right down to the partner choice at the end, it's all bad.
Yeah, I mean, as far as the Nelson thing goes, it's truly just the puzzle that Nelson can do everything else. Yeah. But him and Corey, too, just seem to run into the puzzle on any opportunity they've had. I just want to like show me, like they show us plenty of content of like on their socials of like being at the gym. Show me you working on a puzzle, like show me that so that I feel better about you. Just do like go to like a don't go to a diner, maybe. But you know, those like diner puzzles that you would just like mm-hmm. play like some random like whatever breakfast place, like do one of those.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is definitely a concern. Their best hope, I think, where like Fessy, like Corey says, like to Natalie, like we are running the final together and we are running it with Nelson and Fessy. And so I guess the idea is that either their partners will do the puzzles or all three will time out, because that's the only option you're getting out of those three on most puzzles. But, you know, even beyond, I feel like lost in this is bad move from Tori. Also, don't feel like this reflects well on her to be throwing. She says Corey's her number one guy in the house. They're going to work together. And then boom, throws his two best friends against each other in an elimination. She's been saying that, oh, like I was just, it was in the moment. I didn't have time to think. I only was thinking of how this benefits my game, not anyone else's, let alone like Fessy or Nelson's or anyone else's, which like, really? You don't think about how your friend who's already down there is going to be affected by who you're choosing? That's interesting. So I don't really buy that 100%, but like bad moves by Tori and everyone all around. I did not understand this.
Mm-hmm. What did you think about the partner steals? Not necessarily steals. There is one steal that ends up in, you know, a domino effect of multiple partners being swapped here.
Yes. Yeah, so I know we have talked about every time this has happened, who are the winners, who are the losers. I know I've asked you a lot, so I guess I'll go ahead and give my opinions here.
Yeah, you do ask this every week, and I probably should start preparing an answer, but haven't done it yet.
Yeah, it's fine. You know, I feel like generally once you actually take a look at this, it becomes pretty evident. Let me take a look at, I think, probably who changed partners. We have Anissa changed partners, Fessy changed partners, Leroy changed partners, Casey changed partners, and Michi changed partners, and Amber. I guess,
All right, I'm typing this out as we go as well. I currently have Anissa at the top of the list. Getting away from Fessy at this point in time seems like a great move, or not that she made a move, but a great thing for her that she's able to now play with Leroy. You know, she could be on Cam's side and, you know, not have to even think about, am I with Cam, am I against Cam? Not that that was seemingly on the table, but it doesn't seem like their games were fully meshing, and now they're going to because she's with Leroy. Leroy, I have in second place there because losing the Big Brother aspect of her team. I don't necessarily think that the Big Brother people are going to come after him or Cam right away, but now that he's not tied to them and he's just with Anissa, I feel like he's totally fine. No big issue there. Where do you go from there?
I think I'm probably putting Fessy because, yes, the move was bad, but I still think Fessy is upgrading on his partner.
Okay. I think I might go Michi next. Only because we're talking specifically as, you know, this move as, you know, like how their future is going to go as a team. It doesn't seem like anybody's coming after him. And I feel like it makes virtually no difference for him that now he has Amber instead of Liv. Maybe, you know, people are still going to want to go for Amber as, you know, a quote unquote easy win at some point, but that doesn't really affect him much. He'll just get another partner whenever the time comes, if she does go home. So I feel like he's kind of like very neutral there.
Yeah. The thing is, I think, yeah, no one came for Michi, but I also think he was immune this episode. I think had Liv not gone home, we very well may have seen a consensus vote-in of Michi and Liv, considering probably people do not have as many ties with them. And are you really going to throw in, you know, someone like Nelson or even a Jay over the two newer rookie pair? Sure. So, you know, if we had to lose Liv in order to get this great episode, or at least great, you know, second half of the episode, then maybe thanks Liv. But if that was not going to be the case and this would have happened all otherwise, then I think Michi and Amber definitely can find themselves targeted soon, but probably a lateral move for Michi where most others were a giant downgrade.
Yeah. And it's hard for me to say like exactly place Casey in this list, because I feel like she's somebody who her social game is still doing just fine. It seems like she's still in good with the people she's in good with. Nobody is going to really be calling her into an elimination anytime soon, thinking that they can just go in and beat her. It feels like she still has, you know, control of her fate in this game at this point. So that bottom four, I'm really not the most clear on, but at least the top two, I feel like you can separate Anissa and Leroy, saying that they are walking away from this, given how everything played out, they're walking away from this crater tonight better than they walked into it.
Yeah, I think I would give Casey over Amber, because Amber is losing Nelson in a strong partner, and at least Casey is going from one strong partner to another, even if the social game is much worse. Mm-hmm. So I think I would probably round out the six that way.
All right. Well, that's what we have for today. I am still tired. I am not still going to bed anytime soon, because why would I? But I'll get there eventually. And this podcast, I'm sure we're recording it Friday night for anybody who cares. I don't know. Is Colin at poker tonight, or is he going to put this up in the morning? Or I don't know. We'll have to see. You'll listen to it at some point. Well, actually, you're at the end of this, but not you, the listener, but you're already listening to it at the end. And I am rambling for no good reason. Scally, what else? Anything else here in your notes, in your either set A or set B of your notes before we say goodbye?
No, I'm good. I am excited. Hopefully no more evacuations next week. We finally get to a point where I don't know if it's going to be a men's. You got to assume it's a women's elimination next week, right? But, you know, theoretically, the numbers are even again for the first time in quite a while. So excited to get back there. Hopefully some of the people who have not gotten as much screen time, we could see a little bit more from them. And otherwise, no, just excited for next week.
All right. That's all I have as well for today. Yeah, if you have any upside you see for Fessy in this episode, let us know. All ears, for sure. So there's that. We also, I mean, I don't think we have been regularly updating either draft results here, but we did get the latest draft results or tallies from Will from America the other day, which is that Allie is currently tied with Scally, 7 points apiece at the top here, followed by Brian Cohen with 5, followed by me with 4. So I am striking out with every draft so far this season, but I guess that's the price to pay for some entertaining, I guess, non-predictable as far as what I would have predicted with my draft pick season. So I'll live with it. And until next week, follow me on Twitter at Matt Ligori. Follow Scally at Brian_Scally. That's really all I have, right? Anything else? Follow Dom and Colin. Listen to their latest podcast if you have not yet. What did they talk about? They talked about there was definitely some Harry Potter in there. And the loved ones.
Loved ones visit broken.
Right. Okay. I didn't know if that was this week or last week. Literally everything is mixing together. But that's been happening since early 2020. So what is wrong with me now? I don't know. That's all I have. Any final words from you?
No, I'm good. Just excited for next week. That's all.
All right. Excited for next week. We will talk to you guys then. Have a great week and get some sleep.